So I wanted to speak with you today about the fifth estate. And I had written a whole big long sermon, and if you want to know more about the other four estates, you're going to have to bring your coffee or tea on Thursday morning, because when I woke up this morning, I threw it out. I decided to start over. I kept coming back in the original sermon to this central refrain in my thinking, that something is emerging in our world. Something is emerging, and we don't know what it is yet. And that, this morning, feels like the most important message. So again, I invite you to join us on Thursday to learn a lot more about the first four estates. Something is emerging, something bigger than our politics, something bigger than the internet. All these things, I think, are symptoms. They are symptoms of an evolution that is happening right in front of us. The fact that we can turn on a dime, as Kendra mentioned, because of something like this, my little iPad, or this, an iPhone, that within 24 hours of an executive order being signed, there are huge gatherings and plans for more in response, that statements are being made by leaders around the world, decisions about people's lives and the perspectives of countries and how our relationships will shift. This speed is a fundamental change in our human evolution. It has been so good to be here with all of you this morning and to take a break, to sing together, to breathe together, to listen to the sounds of our sanctuary and each other, to hear our children make noises, to see the light reflected through our windows, to feel this somehow timeless sense of peace, if only for a little bit, to take respite, to put down our worries and simply be. 'Tis a gift to be simple. Anil Dash is a blogger and activist for humane technology who calls this time we're in a Genesis moment. And by this time, he's not talking about the current administration. He's not talking about last week or even the next 4 years. He's talking about this time when we have a need for moral imagination in the digital sphere. He's talking about a tool that has become part of our lives the way previously new technologies did, like fire and the wheel. That this new technology has become so enmeshed that it is inextricable, that to think of real life over here and computers over here is a false construct. He's talking about the wealthiest and most powerful industry in the history of the world that is radically anti-historical and has zero ethical curriculum in its development. This, the fifth estate, the social media, the construct that we live in. And we are in a new Genesis, he says, a new beginning. Last week, I was also with many of you at the Women's March. I was here in Boston. I never saw one printed invitation, one newspaper announcement. I only saw one poster, and that was for DC. The march was entirely organized across social media. But something is emerging out of this technology that is bigger than this moment. It always is. Life is always emerging, right? It's always evolving. But this feels different somehow. One of the points I keep finding in my research was how segmented we have become. How disconnected from each other we can be as a result of social media. that we have actually, as a world culture, become more tribal than ever. That on the web, we can find our people far beyond geography or bloodlines, and that it is dividing us. Let me ask, do you watch MSNBC or Fox News? Oh. Dana Boyd, who is a blogger and founder of Data and Society, writes, "Many in the tech world imagined that the internet would connect people in unprecedented ways, allow for divisions to be bridged and wounds to heal. It was the kumbaya dream. Today," she writes, "those same dreamers find it quite unsettling to watch as the tools that were designed to bring people together are used by people to magnify divisions and undermine social solidarity. These tools were built in a bubble, and that bubble has burst." Something is emerging. Before Amanda and I settled on today's story about how we are all one, we talked about bringing clear thread to the service and somehow passing an invisible line around and among all of you, starting at the front maybe and throwing it to the middle and then to the back and forward and across. And you know that like fish line that would connect us but we wouldn't see it. We worried that someone might get hurt, so we opted not to do it. But the idea was to remind ourselves of how we are connected in unseen ways, like the unseen connections of the internet, for example, in good ways, potentially, creating communities with people way on the other side of the church that we may never have met even yet. But our analogy fell short with that when we realized that aside from the danger of literally tripping over each other, the connections that are made possible, on the internet at least, are not nearly so random. That in fact an environment that could function to connect us to people with different perspectives and life experiences and outlooks is actually functioning very differently. Again, Boyd suggests any company whose business model is based on advertising revenue and attention is incentivized to engage you by giving you what you want. And what you want in theory is different than what you want in practice. Diversity is hard, she reminds us, so on the whole, we end up choosing what feels comfortable. What is like us, what shares our perspective, what agrees with our point of view. I hope to be clear this morning that these times that many of us are finding so difficult are not ones in which we can afford despair. These are times when we must be vigilant against our own isolation, our own segmenting by invisible threads to those we know and trust, and ignoring them, whoever them is. And these are times that ask us, that beg us, for intellectually creative and morally grounded engagement. Something is emerging. And I believe it is emerging in the form of an invitation. The Sunday after the election, way back in November, I talked about the fact that right now, in this time, we are on a global journey. We are on a global journey. Despite what our new administration seems to think, and despite the actions being taken to isolate our country. These motions are pushbacks to an emerging reality. Ivan Sigal is executive director of Global Voices, an international community of bloggers who report on blogs and citizen media from around the world. "The effects of networked society are playing out across the world," he says. "Crowds are not just threatening amorphous mobs, they are aware, connected, self-monitoring, and constantly evolving communities that are seeking expression, rights, and new paths to power. Again, think about last week's Women's March around the globe. Their effects, he tells us, are complex and can be both positive and negative. The fifth estate, he writes, is not to be feared or coddled or praised or banned. It is to be considered because it's here, it's powerful, and it's not going away. The invitation, I think, that is emerging is asking us to look beyond the immediate, beyond this week, beyond each and every order or proclamation, however much they might rankle. We are being invited to think forward and with grounded values and hopefulness. My friend Raleigh always talks about God's time. I'm never sure exactly what she means. Is it fast? Is it especially slow? I suspect it has more to do with being unknown. When we can't really be sure how long something will take, Raleigh says with a smile, God's time. But if this time in our lives is truly a Genesis moment, then we are being invited to co-create. We are being invited to step into an emerging reality, to stop fighting with it or against it, to stop leaving it to someone else and start creating it together. I thought briefly when I was thinking about this earlier, if this is Genesis and we're co-creating it, then like the sign at the march said last week, let's stop blaming Eve. There are a number of things I might change in Genesis. That might be one of them. I am not suggesting that we play God, whatever that means to any of us. But I am suggesting that we must consider the bigger picture in front of us, that we not be discouraged or defeated by the daily doses of concern, but commit ourselves to the long haul. That we answer this invitation, the invitation of this emerging world, with defiant love and steadfastness. Robin Colgrove posted a photo on Facebook with a sign outside of a Baptist church. I loved this. I hope you can see it. Case matters sometimes. We have to start using this fifth estate in new ways. We need to be creative, intentional, forward-thinking, and forward-loving so that what emerges will be worthy of our one world. Anil Dash, the blogger that I mentioned earlier, describes his 5-year-old son's relationship with the computer as a tool to create rather than consume. An interesting distinction, I think, for those of us who didn't grow up with this technology in front of us. How often also the children lead us. I don't know what this emerging world will be. I only know we must accept the invitation to be a part of it, not to be observers of it or consumers, but creators in this new Genesis. The song I have chosen for our final hymn is familiar to us this morning, "Comfort Me, O My Soul." I encourage us to sing it with this amorphous estate, this fifth estate somehow in mind, to imagine how we might find and offer comfort for all our souls during this Genesis time, this emerging moment in the history of our world, to break out of our segmented arenas and offer out for others what we yearn for ourselves, to comfort, to sing, to speak, to dance, O my soul. That every email, every tweet, every message that comes from us might be assurance and invitation to do the same. While we sing, let us accept the invitation to co-create our emerging world with all the love that we can muster.